put it. Yet Eisner's name wasn't even mentioned, nor was Frank Wells's. Katzenberg had cut an acknowledgement of Eisner from an earlier draft. Katzenberg had usurped the royal we, speaking of our success. He had anointed himself some kind of genius, or I am Mr. Movie Mogul, as Eisner later wrote. On the front of the paper, Eisner wrote something that hinted at his real feelings. I would demand that this paper never get into any hands outside our company, especially the press, but agents and lawyers as well. If that wasn't clear enough, nearly 2 weeks later, on January 23rd, Eisner sent Katzenberg a handwritten note. I told Linda to collect your movie-making paper so that it does not get out. I am really nervous, as you know, about the press. I would not let anybody else see it. Nobody needs to... We must keep some secrets. Okay. Eisner was still brooding about the memo at his next Monday evening dinner with Katzenberg at Locanda Veneta. Sometimes I get the feeling that I'm competing with you, Eisner said at one point. A careful reading of Eisner's marginalia might have given him some clues, but Katzenberg was startled. How could you say that? He asked. Loyalty was one of Katzenberg's prized virtues. No one was more loyal to Eisner or more grateful for what he'd done for his career. Katzenberg wouldn't tolerate criticism of his boss. He'd stopped speaking to one of his best friends, producer Erwin Winkler, after Winkler criticized Eisner's outsized compensation the previous year. But Eisner didn't pursue the matter. Katzenberg decided it was just a passing comment and tried to forget it. Despite Eisner's explicit warnings to keep it private, it didn't take long for Katzenberg's memo to surface in the press. Variety printed it in its entirety. Perhaps this was inevitable, given that Eisner's copy was one of at least 24 that Katzenberg had dispatched to Disney executives. Eisner told Vanity Fair writer Peter Boyer that he didn't believe Katzenberg had leaked it. On the contrary, Eisner was convinced that Katzenberg had done so. Eisner maintains that he was given a faxed copy of the memo that had his handwritten comments on them, which, as far as he was concerned, proved that Katzenberg was responsible. Katzenberg has denied leaking the memo. Eisner's reservations about the memo were quickly vindicated. It was dismissed as 28 pages of banalities by one studio executive. Everyone mentioned in it was furious. Bill Murray denounced Disney on Larry King Live, even as he was supposed to be promoting What About Bob? Warren Beatty stopped speaking to Katzenberg. Alec Baldwin referred to Katzenberg as the eighth dwarf, greedy. Beyond the furor in Hollywood, the memo appears to have marked a critical turning point in Eisner's relationship with Katzenberg, coming as it did on the heels of Katzenberg's recent success and attendant publicity. Eisner's resentment was so intense that evidence suggests he wanted to fire his longtime partner. During the same month the memo was written, in January 1991, Frank Wells asked Cheryl Fellows, a company accountant, to undertake a top-secret project to calculate the amount of the 2% annuity due Katzenberg in the event he was terminated or left the company. The project was given a code name, Project Snowball. Fellows was explicitly warned to conceal the project from Katzenberg. She moved from her cubicle into a private office so no one could see her work. It isn't clear where the name Snowball came from, whether this referred to the massive amount of work